This is Fatima Mendes with UN News. Women have left an indelible mark on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But when they first started working on it, men were thinking that the declaration wasn't going to be much of anything, a leading author and researcher told UN News this week. It was the strength of women, such as Minerva Bernardino from the Dominican Republic, Begum Chaista Ikramula from Pakistan, and Hansa Mehta from India, that proved them wrong, said Stockholm University researcher Rebecca Adami. She has been studying the archives that document the early stages of the international human rights movement in general, and her book, Women and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, was launched on Wednesday at the United Nations in New York, just a few days before the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. She started by telling Paulina Greer about the importance of the document at the time, not only for the United Nations, but for the whole world.
I think it's really important because it was one of the two founding documents that really defined human rights at the origins of the United Nations. So you have the UN Charter that states that promoting human rights is part of the core and main mission of the UN, and then the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is a document that is listing these human rights in the 30 articles, and including women as being mentioned in the declaration was really important in order to make sure that this was a document on human rights and not the rights of men. For me, when I looked at the archives and the participation of women in drafting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it was really important that they were part of this process, because some of the first drafts had the wording, all men are equal, and also, it was not decided in the beginning what the title of the declaration would be, if it was a declaration on the rights of man or a declaration on human rights.
So do you think that in 1948, it was understood that the word men would have been for men and women, this idea of equality for both?
Yes. And this is where there were different positions between different female delegates. So female delegates from the United States, for example, they were against the Equal Rights Amendment because they were afraid that protective legislation of women would be sacrificed if you would have emancipation of women and if you would treat women as men. And there were different positions from some Western countries stating that we do not need to mention women because we know that women are included in the wording men. And then especially from Latin American countries and in India and Pakistan, the women really arguing that we need to mention women explicitly in the text, because otherwise it might be interpreted in some countries as not being inclusive of women's rights.
And was this discussion led by these women that we had mentioned? And you had mentioned Hansa Mehta, but there are obviously Eleanor Roosevelt, and I believe Minerva Bernardino from the Dominican Republic.
Yes, yes. She was one of the women who argued for the importance of having a commission on the status of women, because experts on the rights of man or human rights were not necessarily experts on women's rights. And she felt it was really important to have a commission with only women delegates so that they could work together with a joint agenda on what kind of changes they wanted to see in the first drafts of the declaration.
And I think there was one other woman that really stood out from Pakistan, Begum Chaista Ikramula.
Yes, she was representative of Pakistan in the third committee. And there you saw a change, because in the third committee you had female delegates, and they had been moved to the third committee because they were dealing with humanitarian and social and economic issues. And a lot of male delegates wanted to work with other issues at that point. So I don't think that they really understood that working with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was going to be really, really important and vital for the future.
Wow, you're kidding. So they actually moved these women to work on this, thinking
yes.
This was going to be a nothing.
Yes, and it was also, since it was also a non-binding document, it was more like a proclamation that the different member states of the UN stood behind this document, but it was not given as heavy weight in the beginning. It was when they got some media attention, and especially the meetings in Paris. You know, the United Nations, they were kind of, they were homeless in the first years without the headquarters here was not built yet. So they were moving around. But so it took a while for people to understand how important this document would be for the United Nations more broadly, because the heavy debates were about the Security Council and issues that were being brought to attention there, and how the UN would deal with aggressions and conflicts.
And yet 70 years later now, this is one of the, you know, a seminal document for not just the United Nations, but really the countries of the world. You're in New York at this timing, just a few days ahead of the 70th anniversary. You have a new book that's out.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. So the title is Women and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And in this book, I'm describing the process of drafting first the UN Charter and then the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the women who were part of these processes, because a lot of the wordings from the UN Charter was then being repeated in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So it's a gendered and counter narrative to the dominant notion that it was a document drafted only by men and with a few women. I know Eleanor Roosevelt has been a figure that has been really highlighted in other historical accounts. But I found that it was really fascinating to see how these women from other countries, especially newly independent countries such as India, and with the founding of Pakistan in 1947, how women who had been part of the independence movement and who had been demonstrating in the streets and who had really prominent roles in the founding of their countries. You mentioned Shaista Ikramullah and Hansa Mehta. They were both women part of drafting the first constitutions of their countries. And how these very strong advocates of women's rights and human rights against colonialism were at the table in the United Nations when the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was being drafted. And I think that is something that's really historical and very inspirational, I think, today for a lot of women to hear about these historical women and how they had this role, this prominent role in politics, in legislation, and international arena.